Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Oh, the car from Carvana's here. Well, will you look at that? It's exactly what I ordered, like, precisely. It would be crazy if there were any catches, but there aren't, right?
Right, because that's how car buying should be. With Carvana, you get the car you want. Choose delivery or pickup and a week to love it or return it.
Buy your car today with
Carvana.
Delivery or pickup fees may apply. Limitations and exclusions may apply. See our 7-day return policy at Carvana.com.
Welcome to the Mostly Pod Out at Night. Mostly, I am Graveyard, joined by my co-host Salem.
Hello.
This is episode 171 of our weekly All Things Horror podcast. Tonight, we are playing catch-up on new movies released this year and that have tied into previous episodes. Well, unfortunately, we found out that we didn't cover a previous Hell House LLC movie, so we're tying in with this episode with Hell House LLC Origins and Lineage that came out this year.
Yeah, and believe me, I tried to skip the other one. I'm like, can we just skip it? And I was doing research like, can you skip it? And everyone's like, no. Like the fifth movie's like, half of it is references to the fourth one. I'm like, oh man.
Yeah. So we push aside VHS Halloween because I'm sure there's gonna be another VHS hopefully next year, and we can recap it then. But in addition to that, we have to go check in with the fraudsters themselves. That's right. The Warrens are back with apparently their last rite, which is not to be the last one because they said they're making prequels now. Huzzah.
Oh, I thought they would go with a sequel with the other family members or whatever.
You know, I'm expecting to go that too. Who knows? But, you know, we have to see what new bullshit powers are in store for us with all these stupid things for them.
Well, it'll be funny if they give her more powers in the prequels. They're going to have to make a movie explaining why she didn't use the other powers in the other movies.
It's entirely possible to say once she gave birth that she passed her powers on to her kid. There you go.
Well, yeah, but whatever. Okay.
Yes. There, fair warning, there will be probably very explicit content when we talk about the Warrens in the last movie here for this night episode because, well, they are pieces of shit. As we've said many times over this podcast.
Yes. I know I've talked extensively about it.
Yes. So, like I said, we have Hell House Origins from 2023 and the, I'd say, sister sequel Lineage from this year, and like I said, The Conjuring Last Rites from this year as well. The sooner we get through this, the more I can go drink and forget these movies existed. But let's start with Hell House Origins. Like I said, there's not a whole lot that necessarily happens to these movies, so we'll probably do quick recaps of these because they're garbage. But essentially, Origins is going to the Carmichael Manor, which are the people I had to do research are people that are part of the Tullys that made like the Abaddon Hotel and started all this quote evil satanic worshiping in the Abaddon town. This is like 1989. So we have that story and we have their daughter who was like videotaped stuff back then. And like the husband, or okay, the father killed everyone.
I'm gonna break in here. She's filming with like a 35 millimeter camera.
Mm-hmm.
Now this is in 1989.
Yes.
Like VHS camcorders have been out for like a decade.
And they're filthy rich. They would afford one. Yes.
Right. I mean, like they even have like the little tape versions in 1989.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so confused. I'm like, they're playing 1989 like it's fucking 1965. Like, I don't understand if it was like meant to be older and they just changed it, because like whoever made, how old is the guy that made this?
Probably our age.
Because like he seems to have a misunderstanding of what 1989 is. You know what I mean? Like I lived in 1989. Like this feels like it was way before that. Like this could have been made in the 70s.
Yes, 1989 was the start of like America's Funniest Home Videos, and people had hard access to cameras, and we had VHS copies of movies being made in the 80s that were the VHS, the video nasties back then.
Right. I mean, like Back to the Future was 85. They had fucking VHS, you know what I mean? Like, they had a VHS they could hook up to a TV and shit. Like, it was a well-known technology. I don't, why the fuck is she getting a 35mm camera from? And how the fuck, you know, like, what? Where is she getting the film? Where do you even go to fucking develop that?
Yeah, I don't know. There's
I was so confused.
Yes, but yes, besides that, like I said, and they're playing hard and loose with their timelines, because they said this, it took 30 years from that event to the origin of Hell House LLC. But if you watch the movie, that took place 5 years prior. So that was 2009. It only been 20 years between those events of the massacre at the Hell House LLC.
Now, so, I gotta say, the guy who made these is so far up his own ass. You know what I mean? Like, he's expecting you to remember, like, side characters from, like, three movies ago.
Yep.
And then bring them in without explaining who they are. And you're just supposed to know who they are and what they bring to the table. Like, I have no fucking clue who these people are. We watched all the other movies, right? Like, I've seen them all. I don't know who these people are. Like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah, I think what... why we have this issue is because if you love Hell House LLC, you know everything inside and out.
Right, that's what I'm assuming. I'm assuming he's making it for like his super fans. But like, if you want to like have a greater audience, like we watch horror movies all the time, right? Like I usually pick up on details.
Mm-hmm.
Of stuff, even in franchise I don't really care about. Like this franchise, to be honest, I don't care about at all. But at least I like, it wasn't that long ago when I watched these. I don't remember any of these people.
No.
It took me a while to even remember that the one of the main like protagonists was like in one of the other films as a protagonist. Like I didn't even remember. I was like, oh, that's her? Oh, okay.
Well, yep.
I mean, to be fair, she looks very different, but.
Yes. Yeah. So I said, that's all going to read. That's where we learn all that stuff, that the Carmichaels, like she said, the dad killed his family, took his son maybe, and they disappeared, never to be seen again. Sure. And then we have our true crime aficionado and her girlfriend, her brother, going to the Carmichael Manor that's been really in, I would say, pristine condition for no one using it for the past 30 years, for the most part.
I mean, yeah. I mean, well, the guy said, oh, I'm a caretaker. So if you have a caretaker, they clean the house and stuff, or at least they're supposed to.
Yeah. But it's, you know, they actually make it seem like the Carmichael Manor is like this hugely remote part, but it's the same town. It's still Abaddon. So it's not that far apart, in my opinion.
Right. But yeah, I was thinking, like, why would a person, you're a part of the town. Like they were talking about going to all these town events and shit. Why would you make your house like so far away?
Right. You are the family.
Right. I'm like, you know, I get being out and like away from people. I understand that. But like being at the end of a 30 like minute long dirt road.
Yeah.
Like if you're that rich, why don't you pave the fucking road?
Yeah, for sure. But I said, all that's going on there. And then we get in cuts to like from the producers, like they only survived 4 nights. Like, okay, well, thanks for spoiling it for us, movie. They're dead. We're just seeing their last couple nights, but spooky stuff happens. They found this locked room that the caretaker didn't have a key for, which they just like, hey, we got it open. How? I just did. Cool.
Well, the house wanted them to be in there.
But that's where we get the mannequins of the Hell House clowns. We get more back lore, the dunking, all that stuff. And they come to play, and realistically just spooky things happen. Like, they have full on, this isn't like Shadow Fears, like they're catching full on like bodies.
Right. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but in the first movies, the clown was just a mask that they bought somewhere or brought from somewhere. Right.
That one with the polka dots on one side and stripes on the others, like I would call the main clown, they thought someone else brought.
Okay.
They brought other clowns. This was just an additional clown that was there.
Okay. I was trying to remember. I'm like, didn't they bring it with them? They're trying to, you know, show it like, oh, these clown masks have been around for, you know, decades or whatever.
Yeah.
And I was just like, what were they? I mean, I'm pretty sure the idea was not that in the beginning. I'm sure they made it that way, but
I'm pretty sure that they brought, it was just mannequins that came to life, not demonic possession people that are in now having these things that we get by the end of this franchise. Correct.
I mean, it's all of it. Yeah. Who knows?
Like I said, they have like the dead sister from the first one that died in a car accident. They have full body apparitions. They have seen, they have stuff to have enough evidence to collect that $1 million paycheck, because
at Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
That is like full on, like, ghosts.
right
and to the point where like, hey, we're gonna record everything, oh look, here's my bed, it smells like weirdness and there's a dead body in it. And I'm gonna say right now, they did what I would consider the cardinal sin of ghost hunting, is you wait to the very end of the investigation and check all your video cameras. No, they would have seen that bloody body that morning one if they checked their footage like they're supposed to.
Is that like the rule? Oh, you have not, rule.
If you're not ghost hunting, you go over your footage from the day before, so you don't have like 10 days all at once to go investigate more stuff if you catch paranormal stuff.
Maybe they're just lazy.
I think they're just lazy. So anyway, all that's going on there, like, yeah, this is spooky and like, you know, more stuff. And like, hey, I'm gonna have to do my day jobs as a girlfriend. And look, here's pictures of this house that I didn't mean to put in there. Oh shit. Oh man, there's something catching coming close to me. Next fellow, it's screaming at me, so I scream. Thanks. Thanks for the picture jump scare. That not exciting. And yeah, so the brother, you know, he's there too. He's had problems. He had episodes. I don't know what these episodes are because I don't think they really state what they are.
I think he's just an addict.
Maybe, but like I he was
they made it seem like he was just an addict and he would like go off on benders.
Right, but
and
he didn't.
He's like trying to be sober, so they're trying to like keep him close by.
And he didn't show symptoms of being an addict. I don't think in any way, shape, or form.
But again, it's if the filmmaker has not been around a real addict when he was writing the character or casting the character, yes, that does seem like what it is.
Yeah. So all that's gone on there. He's like, we gotta leave. We're like, okay, we're gonna spend more night. He gets a visitor in the middle of the night, and he just full on disappears. And they have one more night to get through, and hey, we're gonna stay this. And no, more shit's happening. They try to escape, and well, they get killed.
Well, yeah, we're gonna talk about that ridiculous kind of line of events that happened there. But we'll get to. We don't need to. You don't need to talk about it now.
Yeah,
we'll
but you know, red bouncy balls, because that's red balls as a theme for this one, and the next one. Because I don't recall red balls being a huge thing in the first three, but
I don't either. I was like, is this a thing now? has this always been a thing?
I don't think it is. I think it was more so the song that's played on the piano more than anything else.
Yeah, I remember the song, but what? I was just like, you know, I don't care enough to look or research, but like, I'm pretty sure it wasn't.
It was not. I'm sorry. Also, they go antiquing, and when they go town before they die, they find the clock that was in there with a hidden storage thing, and they have a whole bunch of shit they find inside the clock
that they just steal.
Yes.
Like, how shitty is that? Like, if you know there's a magic fucking clock with secrets, just buy the fucking clock.
And this has this proof of things, which they think there's proof of these things in the next one, and there's still not proof of anything on this because, well, there's nothing ever explained. I think the numbers written in the back of the photographs that they're talking about this one, the next one, is because the guy pointed out at this place that you just gorilla filming at, there's numbers, and they just chose numbers to be the thing. It's kind of like, you know, the tuning fork being the catalyst and, you know, killing point of the tall man in Phantasm. It's just grasping at little pieces that they had in the first movies to make these next stories.
Right. Yeah. They're trying to like tie in things that they're trying to tie in anything that they can to like, oh, look, hey, this happened in the first movie, but they can't just let it happen the same way. They have to like somehow tie it in as to being magic or, you know, some way to bring something fun or interesting into the, it's stupid.
Yeah. But that's pretty much what happens in this movie and nothing exciting else.
No, there's a lot of a hello.
Did you
out there?
Yep, because that's what you ghost hunting is. You don't go chase the things. You just stand a couple rooms away and shout towards it.
If you're on a ghost show, like okay, I kind of sort of get why you're saying hello, but like this is a film.
Correct.
Please don't say hello every single time you hear a noise. Like it's like a noise. Camera looks at the door. You hear things in the hallway. Hello. Hear more things in the hallway. Who's out there? Then they go out in the hallway. Then you hear sounds from further away. Who is that? Every scene is the same.
Yeah. Like
every character has to have at least one of those scenes before the end of the movie.
Like I said, I get it. When you hear loud noise, you want to make sure there's not actually a person there when you would be ghost hunting. That makes sense, but not constant. Yes.
I don't know. Close your fucking door. You're in a haunted house.
I know. Obviously, we've been kind of going through our first thoughts on this already, but do you want to start with your highlights?
It was a short list. Mm-hmm. So I'll say one, that was a really nice house.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, it's a little big for my taste, but it was really nice.
Oh, I'd live there.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. Okay, that's great, especially for a 1989 house. I highly doubt that house was made in 1989, but it looks like, you know, it's nice. I was like, yeah, hey, that's pretty cool. Nice big rooms.
Mm-hmm.
Pool table in there.
Each room has its own bathroom.
Right, yeah. The clowns in this movie, it seems like they took more time to make the masks better. You know what I mean? Like, the outfits are dumb as shit, but, like, the masks look, like, very good. Like, mm-hmm. very realistic. Like, they had somebody... And the funny thing, a little, I guess, spoiler for the next one, the masks look worse in that one, in Lineage.
They do.
The masks just look like cheap masks you'd buy in a store that they tried to like paint up, but they failed. This one, it looks like they actually did like real work. You'd assume they'd have access to the same props, but they're obviously different.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think the masks look good in this one. I'm not saying that their usage was good. I'm just saying the masks themselves were definitely pretty good. And I will say, you know, in the FX, when they do blood stuff, it does look pretty cool. It's not, they don't do a lot of it.
Mm-hmm.
They just do some of it, but what they do is like, you know, the blood's the right color and consistency.
Right. Yeah, for sure.
That's it.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely a, you know, out of, okay. And here's kind of my issues with this, right? With the whole Hell House LLC title, because Hell House LLC was the company that was doing these haunted houses. Why is it still in the title? This has nothing to do with that company. Get rid of the title.
Well, the title of this film also has two separate bylines, which mm-hmm. tells you how stupid it is. You know what I mean? It's like Hell House LLC Origins, the Carmichael Manor. Like it's there's no other origins except for this film.
Yeah.
So are they planning on making more origins?
Well, maybe it's like X-Men Wolverine origin.
I guess. It's like why are you doing that?
Yeah. I said, for without doing too much research, there is decent ties into other things. Like, yes, we had to do a little bit of research to figure out who these people were, but there's a couple things I was able to get the reference to, so it was okay for that. Like I said, they'd have the best proof of ghosts in existence. No one's talking about that at all.
Well, yeah, like, again, showing that, oh, this is like, because they have like the wrapper of this is it's a documentary. So if you're showing a documentary that literally has like real ghost shit in it, like why are you putting this in a shitty documentary? Go to fucking whatever Weekly World News and the fucking National Enquirer, these people that literally have $1 million bounties for any real paranormal events.
Yeah.
Like, why aren't you cashing in?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. And this movie, The Clock. So I laughed when I saw The Clock because it reminded me of another movie about spooky things that deals with the clock and the aftermath of that original thing. And it just happened to be the fourth one in that franchise as well. And that's Amityville. The fourth one was about the haunted clock, and it's called It's About Time.
Are you serious?
I am absolutely That's serious.
Awesome. That is an awesome name. I'm sure the movie is fucking terrible, but that is the dumbest, awesome name I've ever heard.
Yes. So I'm like, oh, I think they got the whole plot of this movie from The Clock, from Amityville.
That title works on like three different levels. It's amazing.
Yeah, yeah. That's how when we get to Amityville, that's how the franchise continues. It's just haunted things. One was about a lamp. You know,
well, again, like which one of these are like official?
Oh, these are official.
I don't know who's ruling the official. This sounds ridiculous.
I'm saying the Amityvilles that came out from the original to Ryan Reynolds, everything in between was officially Amityvilles. After the Ryan Reynolds one, that's where they able to slap that tile and everything.
Okay, that's when it went crazy. All
yeah,
right. Okay,
yeah.
All right, when we get there, I suppose.
Yes, we will. So that's all I have. I'll go into my low points. Obviously, once again, acting. I'm not really sure how this is origins of a Hell House LLC, as we said.
I was thinking about it. I don't even know if this is true because, again, I didn't waste any time researching this. But as I was thinking about it, all the hello, who's out there? You got plenty of time to think because it's like you get another 10-minute scene of the same dumb shit.
Mm-hmm.
I think
at Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Like the cult or whatever that was in Hell House LLC, I think the head guy of the cult was the guy who lived in that house.
So that or was...
Maybe not the head guy, but one of the guys in the cult lived in the house. So what they're saying the link is that they're saying the guy who ran the cult, like, because they kind of said that they owned that hotel at before. So, like, the guy who owned that house and owned that before, like, that's the connection.
Yeah, the Carmichaels were part of the cult. I agree with that. But it's Tully that was the head guy that had like the portals and all that shit that we actually see. Spoilers. Tully's the name on the house in the end of the fifth one.
Yeah.
That's how
I didn't even know who that was. Yeah. Again, I didn't actually do research. I'm just like, I'm pretty sure this is a thing.
Yeah, I looked up to see how many people play the same people across these movies, and there's not a lot. So that's why they look bad.
I did too. Because I was like, who am I supposed to know and who is a new person? I could not figure that out.
Correct. All that. Yeah. But I said, maybe that works for the origins, I guess, but doesn't really. It's not the origins of Hell House LLC would be the origins of the haunted house people, in my opinion.
Right. And they're like, they're talking about the fair or whatever.
Uh huh.
What the fuck was that? Did they talk about that before?
No.
I didn't think so. I was like, I think this is new information. You're like saying everything revolves around this fucking fair, but like, I don't think the fair existed before this movie.
No, essentially this movie and the next one say the entire town of Abbon's cursed and haunted is my best guess.
Right. Yeah, but they're talking about the fucking fair that happened in like another town.
Yep.
And somehow that was like the origin of the cult or so. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, and kind of my last...
Like, this guy is so far up his own ass that, yeah, like, he probably doesn't even fucking know.
No. Yeah, and the thing is, like, so, you know, people listen to true crime stuff all the time, right? But I'm not sure I've seen many true crime ghost hunting.
Well, that depends on what you consider true crime.
I mean, did this guy kill his family? Sure. in this universe? Yes.
Well, I mean, are there lots of cases where like a real crime happened and there's a lot of weird mystery shit like going on and like they don't know what happened? Oh, sure. Yeah, those are true crime, right? But if it's like, oh, it's a spooky house. It's a spooky house and like spooky things happen in the house. Like that's not really true crime.
Correct. It's ghost hunting.
Yeah, it goes into like, yeah, there's paranormal, they have paranormal stuff. That's like what that falls into.
Right.
There's no like in between.
Yeah. It's not, you know, here's the house of Jeffrey Dahmer and then I'm going to go ghost hunting there. No, that's not how it goes together. It's, you have the tragic backstory for ghost hunting. It does not make you true crime. I'm sorry. And all the cases she's talked about, it's like, I'm doing all this ghosting. That's not true crime. That's paranormal investigation. I understand you're trying to tie in that the explosion of true crime fanatics, but it's not true crime.
Well, I mean, yeah. Well, again, you can start it with true crime because, one, there were murders that happened in that house. Okay? And mm-hmm. there's mysterious circumstances as to what happened, and there was two people that were completely disappeared. And then the one footsteps in the snow, like they kept fucking saying that over and over again. I'm like, that's not proof. Footsteps in the fucking snow is not proof. Stop saying that. It was driving me nuts.
Hey, the Tuscan Raiders. Okay.
I'm just saying, like, they're like, there's two people in the house, but there's only one set of footprints. I'm like, okay, the snow is not the end all be all. Like, what if it happened before the snow? Mm-hmm. You know, like, I mean, what are you talking about? Like, they kept repeating the snow thing over and over again. I was like, that's not that. No, that's not a thing to focus on. Stop it.
Well, also, I don't know if people have ever realized this. What happens when people walk in snow is instead of making a new footprint in the deep snow, some people behind you walk in your footsteps to not go into that, put their foot fully in the snow.
Yeah, I have to do that. I do that with my dog.
Right.
I walk because it's too deep and he doesn't like walking in it too deep, so I make a path for him first and then he hops between my footprints.
Right. That's a standard staple of Midwest winters. So right. It's not uncommon for that to be a thing. So that also negates the whole one set of footprints.
Well, I was just like, they kept repeating it like it's this end all be all, like, you know, police evidence. Like, no, that's not. It's not police evidence.
Snow forensics.
It's circumstantial. Yeah, it's circumstantial.
That's what I have besides all we were talking about.
He could have been carrying the guy.
What? Carrying his son? Wow. That's injured?
There's so many explanations for this. Stop saying this is like a definitive thing. It's not.
Why did he carry his son that's injured? Oh, wait, because he's injured.
Yeah.
I can go on, but that's all I have. How about you?
All right. So one, I'm going to have to say the documentary, the rapper documentary, holy shit, was the acting in that terrible. Wow. I get you're trying to be like, you know, a documentary person, but like they are very clearly reading lines. Like they don't feel natural in any way.
No.
They're very clearly reading lines. Like if you want the documentary part to feel real, you have to like, here's all the information, you know, study this and then come into it and just talk about it.
Yes.
Don't read lines because it's going to sound like you're fucking reading lines, which is exactly what's going on. Like, no, if you want to do this the right way, that's what you have to do. But anyway, the acting is fucking horrible in that whole part. It really takes you out of it because they keep cutting back to this documentary and it's like, this acting is even worse. Like the acting in the whole film is bad. But like, especially this, it's like, oh God, these fucking people again, just shut up. Okay. Like I said before, 1989. Oh, that was so long ago. She's using 35mm camera. Like this is 1989. You wouldn't even be able to find one of those.
Oh no, that was all gone by then.
You could buy a VHS fucking video camera anywhere. Probably even in a fucking pawn shop. Like, the antique shop. You probably get it there for cheap as fuck. You know, like this is 1989. This is like, that we're almost at the next level of technology here. It would be very easy to get. I don't understand. Oh, she was a filmmaker. Yeah. You don't need to film in 35mm to be filmed. Like if it was a better camera, sure. But it, like those, the film looked like shit.
Yep.
She would have known that anyway. So the secret compartment with the fucking clock, like they very clearly opened it and then just like stole all that shit.
Yep.
Like, this is, like, real evidence for, like, a real crime. Like, one, why the fuck did they just sell all this shit off? And two, why would, you know, if they found all this kind of stuff, why don't they go to the lady and be like, hey, we found this stuff in here. Can we just buy it? Or why don't you just buy the whole clock so she doesn't get suspicious? Like, they, like, blatantly steal the shit and then just, like, stuff it in their purse and leave.
Yep.
Just very, very shitty. And I get, holy Christ, I was laughing so hard. When she is talking to her boss on the Zoom meeting, that boss is, like, the worst actress I've ever seen. She was so, so bad. Like, it was like she was just sitting there and they would, like, give her a line and she would just, like, read the line with, like, zero emotion. Oh my God, it's so funny. Like, you really should see it. It's really that bad. Okay, when they call the brother after he's gone, right, phones have to be, like, working in order for a phone call to go through. Now, they call his phone multiple times during this whole thing, and yet they keep saying, oh, my phone doesn't work.
Hmm.
Your phone has clearly been working multiple times. Like, you keep reading messages and making phone calls. Like, why is, what are you talking about? Your phone doesn't work. I mean, I guess it could be like, oh, magically it doesn't work when they need it to, but, like, they're clearly using it all the time. Like, why are they even bothering to use it if they say it doesn't work?
Hey, the internet might go out. Come on.
Oh. My God, yeah. Oh, the Wi-Fi is reliable. Okay. How the fuck did they get it out there?
Clearly, people don't know Wi-Fi to know it's not reliable.
Yeah. Or it's probably a satellite or something. Now, I got to say, Rebecca and Margot are told, like, it's not even implied. They are told to you that they are girlfriends, right?
Yep.
They have zero chemistry.
I'm pretty sure they're sleeping in other rooms, too.
No, they were sleeping in the same room.
Oh, were
that
they?
It's true. Okay. They never show them in the bed together.
Okay.
But they were sleeping in the same room. That was like a thing that they did see. But they together, they no chemistry. Like, there's no, at no point did they, like, kiss or even, like, put their arms around each other or anything like that. They're just like, I mean, maybe they're at that stage in their, you know, relationship where they're just like, don't like each other. it kind of feels like they're at the end of the relationship anyway, but, like, I don't think they're quite there yet. I just think that these, like, they just don't know how to sell chemistry because there's none. It's nothing. It's, like, painfully bad. I was like, again, I was sitting there for, like, girlfriend, maybe they just mean they're friends. Like, maybe it's just a weird way of saying they're friends. But then again, they were sleeping in the same bedroom and stuff. I'm like, this is weird.
Hey, they went antiquing together. Okay.
Right. Okay. Sure. Got it. Okay. Now, when they figure out shit is going down, right, they're like, we need to get the fuck out of here. I understand why the one girl is hesitant to leave, right? Her brother is missing.
You're right.
You don't want to just leave. But, like, very clear there, they're like, you know, we got to go.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, we got to go. So they're like, it'll take us 2 hours to get back to civilization. I think that's walking, but whatever. So they get in the car. The car won't start. They're like, oh, it'll take us 2 hours to get to civilization here. We'll just start walking. So they walk. They see, like, a weird thing, and they run back to the house. Why? Like, you just left. Like, the one girl was so terrified of this house that she had to leave immediately and was willing to walk to civilization to get away from this house. And anytime a sign of anything even remotely scary happens, she runs right back to the house.
Yes.
What? Like, what? Like, how is that more scary than the house you just think is trying to murder you?
Like, oh, it's not.
You know, yeah, roll the fucking dice here and just try to see what the fuck the cloaked figure in the distance is. I mean, I know, you know, we know as, oh, it's a spooky movie, so it's going to be something bad. But, like, if she's that afraid of the house, why the fuck would you go back? And, like, again, then they get out of the house again, and they're, like, in the car. Right? Because they're too scared to sleep in the house, so they're sleeping in the car. And what happens? They see somebody outside the car. What do? Run right back in the fucking house. Like, okay, if you're that scared of the house, why do you keep going back in it? I just don't get it.
They don't have other filming permits, okay?
Yeah. And, like, the person says, evil never dies. Like, so fucking, you're so full of shit.
Like, oh, I know.
What does that even mean?
Hey, evil it dies tonight.
Yeah. And like the ending is fucking just stupid. But and I really got the feeling that the guy made this film after he watched Saw. Okay, because it feels the same, right? Like the revelations where you're like, oh my God, oh, that person is this person. Oh, you know, like they do at the end of a Saw film, right?
Yeah.
I feel like he tried to do that in this movie. And it just completely fucking fell flat because you don't know who the fuck he's talking about. Like, what do you mean revelation of what? Like, what do you like? I don't know who these or this is or what's going on. Like, I think you have to be like, you know, a super fan and know everything about this franchise to like get these Saw level revelations.
Yes.
You know, it just feels like you tried to set it up as a Saw level twist and it was just zero payoff.
So you're waiting for the Charlie Closer end credits for Saw to go through?
Right. Like, I'm waiting for something. I'm like, okay, well, you're playing this up like, oh, this is revelation. We're going to figure out what's going on and open up the next one. And just like, again, it probably did. And I just missed it because it's, again, this thing is so far its own ass. Like, I don't know what's going on. I don't think any even like middle level enjoyers of this franchise get it.
No.
Like, you have to literally like research the shit and watch it like 100 times to like memorize it to know what's going on. More so in the next one than this one, but this one still has that
dumbass shit in it. Oh, for sure. Like I said, it's just if you are a casual, like more than us, you still wouldn't get it. You have, like I said, diehard fans will know it inside and out, but that's about it.
Right. And I think the dumbest thing in the whole fucking movie is taping a confession with a 35mm camera.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they didn't do that back then. Like, that is a purely found footage thing.
Yes.
And you're trying to say, like, 1989 in this fictional world that you've made where it's really 1965, somehow people are, like, doing, like, reality show fucking, you know, confessions to a fucking 35mm camera in the bedroom? I don't buy it.
No.
That's all I got.
All right. Well, our out-ofs this week are not spooky ghosts because there's zero spooky ghosts in these movies that we watched for this episode. So, Salem, how many not spooky ghosts out of 10 do you give Hell House LLC Origins, the Carmichael Manor?
You know, if I cared, I would go look at what I gave the other ones. But I really don't. I just really don't like this movie. I'll give it a 1.75.
Yeah, I honestly don't recall. I know that as we went through these, like, I'm pretty sure number 3 was our lowest one overall. Fairly certain about that one. I don't know. This isn't revolutionary. This isn't anything honestly new. I don't think this is anything new to the franchise as a whole, except I'm not a diehard. I will give this, though, 2.5 not spooky ghosts out of 10. I know I never need to watch this movie again, though. So, and I'm okay with that. I'm perfectly okay with that. All right, well, take us through Hell House LLC Lineage from 2025.
Okay, now, there's so much fucking stuff going on in this movie. There's like two completely separate plot lines that sometimes converge and sometimes don't. So I'm just, bear with me here. So it starts out with a direct tie-in to the last movie, where it's like they show more fucking home movies of the Carmichael family. And you know that, again, tying more and more into it. And then, like, Patrick makes more of an appearance in this one. Like, he's in the other one, but like not as much. In this one, he's like, they're kind of playing him off as like one of the villains almost.
Yeah.
Anyway, and then it cuts to, again, the fucking fair in a like Clarksville, Pennsylvania. Like, I don't know if we're supposed to fucking know if that's a thing or not. And like some guy gets lost and gets like attacked by a red ball and dies.
damn those red balls.
Yeah. So, okay. So then we kind of open up on the film and the protagonist, who again, I had to look up. I was like, am I supposed to know who this is? Because they kept playing it off like, you know who it is. And she was one of the protagonists from the third movie. She was, I don't remember if More Than One People survived, but I know she survived. Was she the only one? I honestly don't know. I'm guessing because they didn't tie in another person.
Yeah.
So yeah, she runs like a bar now. And she's like having all these like nightmares about like houses and nightmares about like, you know, the evil cult, and she's somehow like tied into all these ghost powers and stuff. So she's like, she goes to a psychologist. I only bring this up because I'm going to talk about the psychologist later. And she sees this other guy at the psychologist, who the psychologist, in a pretty severe HIPAA violation, gives her all of this guy's information right before she sees him, and then goes, oh, hey, there's that guy. And then, of course, that night, the guy tries calling her and running on about how, oh, I see ghosts, and then he gets a red ball and he dies.
Yep.
So they're all like, oh, no, this guy died, right? So then this other lady, again, like, I was like, are we supposed to know who this is? But apparently this one, I think she's kind of like handoff, like, oh, I was a researcher for one of the other people that came here, but I didn't actually come here. But I was a researcher for one of the other groups that was investigating the hotel. Okay. Like, weren't they all three movies, different groups of people that did that?
Yeah.
Okay, whatever. Well, except I guess, yeah, no, that's, yeah, that's what they, yeah, whatever. That's what they all were. Doesn't matter. So she, you know, goes to talk to this lady, and I guess I'm giving some spoilers away here as they say that, from this Clarksville fair, that's where the clowns came from, is they ran like a down a clown, like fucking, you know, one of those like games of chance at the carnival. So where like you throw a red ball and you knock a clown down and then you win a prize. So apparently the people that did the clown game started the cult. And this is the cult that eventually like called demons into the hotel.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow they're connected to a truck full of guys that drove drunk from the fair and hit the car from the fourth movie, where, because the one, you know, daughter died in a car crash and Patrick got injured in the car crash. Now these four people were the reason that happened. And now all the, like, the descendants from those four people are being killed off by these red balls from the clowns.
Yes.
I guess that's the kind of overarching story here. But again, like, I don't get the overarching part because it really only arcs to the fourth movie. It doesn't really go to the rest of them like it should. It tries to like gaslight you into believing that, hey, all of this stuff happened before, right? And it's all leading up to this movie when really it didn't. It's like, it's only little bits and pieces that they're trying to, like, you know, jam the square peg in the round hole. Like, see, look, this fits. Like, no, it doesn't. Sorry, I'm getting into critiques already. but yeah, so at this point, we kind of break off to where, like, the true crime researcher lady is like, oh, I have all this fucking evidence and stuff. You want to help me? And then one girl's like, nope. So she goes, okay, I'm going to go talk to a priest and I'm going to go, you know, exercise this house, right? And literally the two plot lines completely diverge at this point. So the one girl gets a priest, they go in the house, they try to like exercise it, and they fail because you can only exercise the house demons where they like originated. And apparently that's not where they originated from, so they died because the ghost killed them because they failed with the exorcism.
Yes.
Okay, great. And then the other one is like, she keeps having nightmares, right? And then she finds out that she's somehow connected to everything, and that she had nightmares of where the true evil house is. And so she goes to it in her dream to like try to, I don't know, to, you know, fix it in the dream world. I don't know. And there's a kind of like a subplot to where like she had a twin brother that died in childbirth. And at the end of the film, when she's in the ghost house, like she doesn't even really go into it or do anything with it. She's just near it. And then a person comes walking out of the forest and she goes, you know, or twin brother, whatever his name was. I don't remember.
Mitchell.
Yeah. So he's like, oh, Mitchell. And then it cuts to black. Like, that's it. So we don't see what he looks like. Was he one of the other characters that was renamed something different that she just never saw before? Is he like only existing in the dream world? How would she know what he looks like? He died in childbirth. You know what I mean? Like, if you look at a baby and look at the adult version of that, there's no fucking way that you can recognize them, even if they're your own family.
We'll get into Mitchell. I did research on Mitchell.
I'm just like, I was so confused. But anyway, that's it. That's the end. There's no real ending at all. That's why they say, like, this is the final chapter. It's like, it reads like the final chapter from Friday the 13th. Like, it's not final in any way.
Well, she knows now where the true evil resides or began from, so she should have to go kill it. That'd be the next movie if there was a next one.
So that's like ending Friday the 13th when you find out that Jason is the killer.
Yep.
And then end the film. Like, yep. Wait, what? No. It's like you have to do something about it. You have to like confront it. That's the point of a film. How do you have this long of a film and don't have any kind of resolution?
Correct.
Like it's almost 2 hours long.
Yep. And for the final one to set up a potential sequel that they don't call it the final one. Yeah.
Yeah. But like it literally in the marketing for this says the final.
Yep. Fifth and final. Fifth and final. Yes.
And I'm like at the end, I was like, this is clearly not the final.
Correct.
Like this is clearly like he's stretching to get more money out of this so he can make another fucking sequel.
Yep.
Well, I guess I should have also specified this is not found footage.
No.
This is a regular filmed movie. So all the other four are found footage. This one is not. We'll talk about that later. I don't think there's anything else that I really need to add to this.
No.
Okay, so you want to go first?
I'll go first. As you said, it's not found footage. Therefore, it's better-ish acting in a way, just because with traditionally shot movies, you generally have a lot more takes to get the tone the way you want it. It just really depends on the person doing it, but usually with this guy, he's done all of these. He, I think, was able to spend more time on finessing the emotions from the actors.
You know, I will say, it's not on my list, but I'm just going to say it now. Whoever played Vanessa did a pretty good job.
Yeah.
She played a very good, like, stress the fuck out. Mm-hmm. like at the end of her rope type of, like, she really got that vibe across. Everyone else was pretty fucking terrible.
Oh, and yes, but I think that they were, when the people that were in the last one and both this one, we saw them in found footage and not found footage, they were better in this one. Not by a lot.
That's not saying much.
I know. And
it's
of course,
like saying I only got hit four times in the face instead of five. Like,
exactly.
Still got hit in the face four times. Yeah.
And as of right now, last one. Yay.
Yeah. If only I could believe that, I would be more happy.
That's about it. How about you?
So, number one, I'm more appreciative of found footage after having watched this movie, because this is fucking worse than the other ones. I appreciate that, you know, I don't care about your lore, right? I don't care enough about the franchise to even be involved in it. But, I will give you, your props for bringing all of your stuff together from all of your other sequels, even characters from the other films and stuff, and bringing them all into your own kind of universe, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's cool, right? I mean, if people are on board this journey with you, that's fun.
Yep.
But yeah, a lot of sequels don't bring in elements of their originals at all, or they bring in stuff that doesn't really matter. It's just, aesthetic stuff. But this one, yeah, I mean, like, again, he tries to sort of keep with stuff. Again, he tries to, like, sell the importance of things more than it should be, you know, but whatever. I will respect him for bringing in all the elements from his movies and like trying to keep it coherent. Not saying it's good, just saying it's there.
I mean, at least we don't have five Halloween timelines with this franchise.
Yeah, and I thought it was fucking hilarious when the priest died. Because they're selling this like the priest is going to save everybody. He was like the calm, cool, collected guy. Like, oh, the ghosts aren't there, man. Like, just chill out. Like, I got this. I've exercised a million houses before. Like, this is... And he pretty much keeps that attitude all the way till the end when he goes, oh, I guess not.
Yep.
And then it gets killed, you know, and they all get killed. And I was like, that was kind of cool.
Yeah.
That, you know, he wasn't the Jesus hero that they thought he was going to be. Mm-hmm. But that's all that I have for high points. So, low points, you should have stuck with the found footage.
Yep.
Because this one's bad. Hmm. Okay. Now, again, I alluded to this earlier. That psychologist is just blatantly giving patient info away.
Yes.
Like blatantly. Like, oh, one of my patients who's a child of one of the people that was murdered. Like, okay, you've now narrowed it down to only four people in the entire town. Right? Like, she obviously knows who you're fucking talking about. You're blatantly giving her information about your earlier client. Like, you cannot do that.
Correct.
Two, she calls her later on, like, oh, you need to get over here right away. And she goes over there, and then she's unloading on the patient. Like, is she going to get your money back? It's like, she's like rambling on like, oh, my life is so terrible. Oh, these horrible things are happening to me. Like, she came over here like, what, as your friend? As your patient? Like, what the fuck is this situation even? Like, what are you doing?
No clue.
I was very confused. I was like, did I miss something? Again, there's lots of deep cuts here. Again, no one cares that much. I shouldn't say no one. There's very few people who care that much about this franchise to like see all of these strings you're tying together. I'm sure the guy who created all this knows it right because he fucking wrote it and he's had to think about it. But like, you know, your average person that watches this movie is not going to care. Like, you need to like help sculpt this a little bit more to help people out. Is that what these are? These people supposed to be important? Are these returning people? How do we know?
Yep.
Again, the whole "Hello, is anyone there?" used over and over and over. This whole fucking franchise uses it, but like this film uses it like four times, like four different people. Every time they're gonna red ball killer happens, that scene happens every time.
Yep.
It's like, dude, you can have a different intro. You can have a different scene. I don't know if he just really like connects with that scene or whatever, but I don't know. The fucking acting is horrible. Again, I say Vanessa is, she sold it. Okay. She's on the good side. Everybody else is bad. I will call out specifically the priest. The priest is fucking terrible. And the ex-husband, right? I guess you're supposed to assume that the ex-husband, he kept asking her to sign the papers, but they don't actually say what the papers are. I don't buy for a minute that that guy was married to a woman.
No.
I will tell you that. Unless she was his beard. Like, I'll buy that. Sure. Got it. But like, yeah, that guy was fucking horrible.
Yeah.
Again, yeah, this is the final entry. Then where's the fucking ending? This is wide open.
Oh, easily wide open.
And I'm gonna say this movie does it for sure, but there's been so many movies lately that are just like blatantly ripping off Dream Warriors. Like, why is all these films now are like, oh, we don't know where to go in this franchise, let's do Dream Warriors. Like, there's so many other ones have done it. Like, Terrifier did it.
Yeah,
these ones are doing it. Right now I'm not gonna be able to remember off the top of my head, but I remembered at least one more earlier. That as the franchises are doing this Dream Warrior shit, like, what is, why? why are we doing this now? I don't get it. Why can't you just have scary things in real life?
God, almost in the way Weapons did that too.
Right. There's so many like these movies now that it's like, oh, we're going into dreams and then coming back with injuries, or, you know, bringing things in, you know, back from the dream, bring things into dreams, or solving things in dreams.
Yep.
It's constant.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, this is, you know, this is Nightmare on Elm Street stuff. Like, that's their realm. Leave it alone. I guess there hasn't been one in a while. Maybe people are like subconsciously like needing a Nightmare on Elm Street, like a good one, that they're just like implanting that in all of their other
films. That's possible.
I'm gonna go with that.
There you go.
But that's all I got.
Vanessa sure passes out a lot. Like she's like falls asleep or faints or at least four or five times since I was going through that dream sequence world for you. Every single time something happened, collapse. Oh, I need to.
I'm pretty sure. Like again, she was strung the fuck out. I'm pretty sure she's like an alcoholic insomniac.
Or she's like a pseudo temporary narcoleptic or something.
Well, again, if you're an alcoholic that can't sleep, like sometimes you will drink enough to pass out.
Yeah.
Or sometimes you will just pass out from exhaustion. Like, yeah.
Yeah. Like I said before, what is their plan? What's the end goal of this pure evil of the town of Abaddon? We don't fucking know. We're never going to know.
Like, yeah, I guess, like, again, in the original Hell House, they were opening a door to hell. Like, for what? Were you going to go there? Were you, like, going to bring a friend through the hole? Like, what were you doing with
it? Okay, cool. That was the motivation of the first one. What about this? What's the end goal? Are they demon? Are they ghosts? What are they? What are they doing in this movie? Nothing.
Who knows?
They're doing nothing.
They're talking about... You know, okay, like whatever, it's ghosts of the Carmichael family, like trying to kill the descendants of the people that killed the daughter in the car crash. Like, okay, but like, why are you punishing passengers in the car? Like, they had nothing to do with it. They were passengers.
Right.
But okay, whatever. Like, if you're that crazy about it, like anybody who was there on the scene, you're going to kill. But like, that completely separates it from the rest of all, like you said, the Hell House stuff.
Yeah,
it has nothing attached to that. Like, why is this the end of the franchise and trying to tie the whole franchise together when it's only stuff that happened in the movie before?
Right.
Like, yeah. The other three don't seem to be connected at all.
Yeah, and the dad and the son, they're, you know, traverse the other side, going these clown mannequins to do what?
Right. Oh, I forgot the other big revelation. That was the guy showing the house in the fourth movie was like one of the evil demon people that's apparently immortal now.
Sure. Why not?
I was like, okay, that's a stretch, dude. Like, he was just the caretaker guy. He, like, when you made that fourth movie, he did not have anything going on.
Right.
And like when you were making this other movie, like, who can we get to come back? And this guy was like, sure, I need some money.
But that's the thing. Like, then, so these people are now able to travel outside of their areas. Like, that defeats the purpose of having the hotel, the manor. They're just widespread evil. Maybe, like I said, the entire town. I don't know. I don't care.
Wait, like, who are these black hooded people that are wandering around in the forest?
Right. I don't know.
Exactly. Like, are they part of a cult? Are they like the ghosts? Like, this is what they look like in the forest? Like, we don't get anything.
No.
At all.
Oh, and I looked up who Mitchell was. Okay. So I'm going to take you back. Mitchell was the asshole in number two. Okay.
I don't remember.
And so her twin brother was Mitchell, who was in the second one, who she knew, but she was in the third one, which was the play inside the hotel. So she's not going to know who the hell Mitchell is.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, how would you recognize a baby? Like, if you saw a baby, a dead baby, you know, that you somehow was shared a womb with or whatever, but obviously as a fetus, you don't see the baby. But, like, you know, what, 30 years later, how are you going to recognize that person?
Right.
And it's not like, who are you? I'm Mitchell. Like, that, okay, I'll buy that. But, like, no, she said, Mitchell? Like, she recognized him. How the fuck? How?
Right. I said they weren't even in the same movies together. Two and three were their separate ones. And, yes, it's someone else playing Mitchell. That's why they never show his face. That's why they just show his bearded chin and nothing else. Because we realize, hey, that's not the same person. I mean, we may not realize it. The diehard fans might realize it.
It's like the dentist guy from... Plan 9 from Outer Space.
Yeah.
Look like Bela Lugosi from The Eyes Up.
Yeah, exactly. Man, so yeah, it's just absurd. And everything else you said, yeah, I truly, truly hope this is the last one. I don't want to do another recap of Hell House LLC.
It's not.
I know. So I guess I'll go first for number of not spooky ghosts out of 10 for this one. This is going down to a 1. How about you?
Yeah, I mean, I don't... 0.35.
Yeah, that's perfectly fair. All right. Well, now that brings us to Conjuring Last Rites. This is going to be a recap because, let's face it, first off, these are should be two separate movies because you have the Warren's life and Judy's life, which is probably an hour, 30 minutes of this 2 hour plus movie and maybe 30 minutes of spooky ghost stuff.
Right. Without them being there.
Correct.
Or involved. Yeah.
So long story short, as canonically as we know that their daughter, Judy Warren, is now 18 years younger in this universe versus real life because she was... This is, what, 1988? Yeah, she's 40 at this point in real life.
Okay, yeah. This is one of the things I wanted to talk about, but I'll just say it now. She's supposed to be 40 in real life.
Yeah.
The actress playing her is 30.
Mm-hmm.
And they not only treat her, but she acts like she's 16.
Yeah.
And then she's like, I'm getting married. I'm like, okay, you're clearly like a 16-year-old child. That's what you're playing it as.
Yep.
How are you getting married?
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah. So I'll do the Warren side and I'll do the ghost side. The Warrens are retiring. They're getting old. They're in real life like 60 something at this point in time, maybe a little bit older. But like, yeah, we're done doing this business. Oh, by the way, we had this cursed mirror that we got rid of years ago. Our daughter died for a minute and we willed her back to life with Jesus. And because of her death, she now has spooky powers as well that she's been hiding her entire life that we got zero hints in the other versions we saw her in this franchise in the past two other movies that she was in. And now she's combating that as she's trying to deal with her life and all that stuff. The Warrens really just don't have much to do other than the last 10 minutes of the spooky house and then just dealing with everything that goes with it. Yeah. That's that story, pretty much it. Right?
Right, yeah.
And then you have the other family that's in Pennsylvania. There's 8 of them in the house. And, well, there's spooky stuff. They get the cursed mirror that has 3, they say, babies. Those are clearly cherubs. People don't know what cherubs are, which is absurd, which are baby angels, whatever. Like, this house, this mirror is spooky. I don't like it, so I'm there to crush it. Well, while you pull out the trash, it gets crushed. One of the girls decides to throw it away. She gets a piece of glass in her throat from her cereal and starts puking, and then starts puking up blood, and just blood everywhere, and you think she'd be dead, and from there'd be a lot more than one piece of glass. Well, no, there's only one piece of glass. She goes to the hospital, and the mom starts seeing all these other things in the basement. There's a tall guy. There's a creepy old woman, and there's kind of like a daughter, I guess, is playing with the crawly doll that says mama nonstop, and like, we can't take it anymore. We have to go to the news. We've been living like this. We can't afford to leave. So they're all blast all of the news. The priest that was friends with the Warrens, like, hey guys, you should go check it out. They're like, no, we're good. We're done. Okay. He goes there, like, yeah, I try to cleanse this house. Doesn't work so well. He goes to visit another priest and he then hangs himself. And like, oh man, our best friend's dead. What should we do? Judy, touch his casket. I see visions, just like my mama. We should go there. So she drives to Pennsylvania from Connecticut. They follow her. They all meet up. Hey, we got to get rid of this spooky thing. Oh man, this mirror's here. Let's do this. Oh man, it's almost killing Tony, my future husband. We got to stop this. And Judy, I told you to suppress your powers this entire time. Release them. We'll all release our powers together in this mirror. And through sheer will of family's bonds, they overtake the demons in the mirror and they win and Tony survives. Power of the Jeebus. Then we have a vision that Lorraine gets, like, I see us growing old and happy together. Yay, we have children and, you know, grandchildren and great grandchildren. Hooray, everything's fine and we're happy. Set up Judy for being the next Warren of the Conjuring universe.
they set up her as the one with powers, and then her husband is going to be like the no nonsense Ed guy,
right? Despite him also being 40, having worked cases with the Warrens in the past in real life,
right?
And they both had owned the museum, which now is owned by the comedian, but they still are paranormal investigators. They've been paranormal investigators for over 40 years. at this point in time. They're just carrying on the legacy. Therefore, yes, Vera Farmiga and Patrick Wilson are done with the franchise, but it will be continued elsewhere. That's the movie. In like
$2 billion franchise, buddy.
I know. I have so many things wrong with this movie. I don't even know where to begin. But how about you go first with your highlights?
All right. I will say the sections without Ed and Lorraine were mm-hmm. okay.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was just because they weren't there, so mm-hmm. I enjoyed that. The soundtrack was fun, some of it, because it was set in like the 80s.
Yeah.
So like, you know, there's some like David Bowie in there and stuff. It was some interesting stuff. I think the real story is hilarious to me. The real story is like they kept claiming that shit was going on in their house. Multiple people came and investigated it. Nobody found anything.
Mm-hmm.
The church sent like multiple different groups of priests who stayed in their house for weeks and saw nothing. All of these people saw nothing, and nothing happened the entire time they were there.
Mm-hmm.
Even the family didn't claim to even see or hear anything. And of course, it only happened when no one credible was there.
Yep.
All the time. So yeah, the church said, sorry, there's nothing there. Like nobody sensed anything. We stayed there for weeks. Nothing happened. There's no haunting there at all. They were like categorically proven false all yep. around. The only people that believed them, the only people that did anything about it were Ed and Lorraine, because at this point in their career, they were like desperate.
Yep.
And these people had been on the news. You know, they were on the news. They were like, it was a big thing of like all the time they're wasting with everybody else. So Ed and Lorraine showed up because that's what they did. They would show up places to try to get on TV to kind of drum up business so they could make more money. That's what they did.
Yep.
And so they showed up to do that. And I just think it was hilarious that they kind of got like, you know, like, oh, this case is like great. And I like how in the intro of the show, they're like, oh, this case almost ruined their career. And then in the film, there's nothing that would happen that would ruin their career. If nothing else, it would make it better.
Correct.
Because they use their magic powers.
Yep.
And in real life, it was because they had like zero credibility at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And they were again trying to claim that, oh, we saw demons, you know. They were like, oh, there's four ghosts in this house, three people that are being manipulated by another demon. Like, oh, like at first she claimed that the ghosts were coming from inside the house. And then they said, well, this house wasn't here when you're claiming it was here. Oh, no, it was just on the land that it happened.
Yep.
And they're just claiming this house, like for whatever reason. They're like, dude, this is like a bungalow on a packed in block suburb. Like, why would it pick this particular house? They had no answer for any of that. And like they found out, you know, they were, oh, all these exorcisms were done in the house and they all failed. And the church came out and said, like, nobody did any exorcisms. Like, we didn't see anything. Why would we do exorcisms? And they kept claiming that exorcisms were done. And they never produced any evidence that anyone performed an exorcism at all.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, oh, the demons hid from people. And then when they did finally later on get somebody to come in to do the exorcism, which, again, did not happen. The ghosts held on to the people from the house and moved with them to other locations and then came back with them when they moved back in the house. Like literally, this is the insanity level that their story got to when they were trying to explain why nothing was happening when people of credibility were in the house. And you find out later that like the mom and the dad, like the dad had surgery on his brain. Like he had, I don't know, like meningitis or something where he had to get like holes drilled in his head. Like he had brain damage.
Yeah.
And the mom also had brain trauma. And they were the main two that kept saying all this stuff was happening. And the children were just kind of going along with it. And the other people were just old. You know what I mean? So it's like the two people that were trying to be credible, like literally had like fucking brain issues.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like their credibility was through the fucking ground. And like Ed and Lorraine just tried to latch onto that shit and it didn't. So like when they talk about it hurt their career in the beginning, it really did. But in the film does not show that
no.
in any way.
No.
But again, I find that real story funny to me. Mm-hmm. That's why it's on the high side. I don't really have many high things for this movie, so I had to put that over there. It's high for me. Not for the film, for me. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. That's all I got.
I mean, promise me the last one. No. I wish it was the last one.
Spin off something else.
They are. That's what they always try to do.
Like Evil Shoe.
Oh, remember, we're getting a La Llorona sequel, so that's coming.
Watch that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's part of the Conjuring universe.
Oh, yeah, I remember.
Yeah. I think we did the two nuns in La Llorona. And then we did all the Annabelle's.
I remember the one guy with the, he was like the desperado priest.
Yeah. Simon's a good boy.
Yeah.
He didn't bark at any ghosts.
No, that poor dog. He's just there. He's like, hey, what's up, guys?
Yep. Cinematography was nice. That's about it.
Yeah, I mean, you can tell there was money put into this. That's yes. That's what you get.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, now the low points. I say this from the very bottom of my heart. Fuck the Warrens.
Yeah, no shit.
Fuck the timeline. Being wrong. They had that crack in the mirror. Why didn't the first time the mirror cracked? Why didn't it do anything? It was
why didn't they go back? Like, hey, this is a ghost mirror. You need to do something. Nope. It's like not our problem anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. Clearly it's a hoax. It's a hoax. I said there's such little story in this movie. They had to shoehorn in an hour and a half of something else.
Right. I'm sitting there like, you know, about the time where they got to like the fucking barbecue when they're like meeting each other and shit. I'm like, what the fuck is this movie even about? What is going on? Like, we're halfway through this film and they haven't even gotten to the house yet.
They basically had to be dragged into this case unwillingly, right? No, that's not how it happened. And the Annabelle doll everywhere for no reason other than to say, hey, remember Annabelle? That was fun, right?
Yeah, I'm surprised there wasn't the nun.
I know.
I was waiting for it.
Well, her picture was there in that room. And of course, where all the biggest supernatural things happening with the whirlwinds, the mirror spinning, where was the family? Outside the house, not seeing any of it.
Exactly. Yeah.
So they can say whatever the fuck they want to happen in there because no one else was in the house.
Yeah. Oh, it was magic.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just like the hanging off the keys, you know, at the ending, like this is yours now. Hey, thanks. That's how we got this. And of course, like the cameo wedding is what I'm calling it. Hey, remember these people from the rest of the Conjuring universe? Here they are at Judy Warren's wedding. Why?
Oh, really? I was so checked out by that point.
It had the mom from the first one. You had old paranormal investigators from other ones. You had every someone from every other Conjuring movie was in the wedding as count. It's like it's no different than like what the cameos that we're supposed to understand who these people are. And I've seen the Conjuring universe. I only recognize some of them. Like, why? Why are they all here? Why are at the Warren's wedding? Like, could they find no one else other than people to sell their bullshit to in their books to come to their daughter's wedding? Maybe.
Yeah, but again, I was so checked out at that point. I was like, a fucking wedding? Like, I was barely paying attention.
Yeah. Okay. Now, something that really bothers me in a lot of TV shows and stuff like that. How many exorcisms did Ed Warren claim to have done?
I don't know, a lot.
1,000 plus, right?
Yeah.
Why does he not have it memorized?
Because the book has power, man. Come on.
It doesn't.
It's a Jesus book, and it's got blessings.
But they didn't use the book power at the end, so it doesn't do anything. I'm just
Maybe he was nearby, and he was channeling the power like chain lightning.
He's constantly reading the passages from the book. He should know it by heart
he's repeating the same line over and over and over again.
Yeah.
Like the exorcism rite is like pages long.
Yeah.
Like he's repeating one line. Like, no. I mean, even the exorcist got that right. They were doing the exorcism for how long? Like a day?
Yeah.
Like it's a long thing.
It was a marathon for them.
Right.
Yeah. But this, like I said, if you've said it 1,000 times, you should know it by now. Like,
he knows his shit version that he's like, oh, this is the real exorcism. Like, How come it doesn't sound like what the priest does? Oh, I'm using the old book.
Which he has said multiple times. His version is different. That's why the...
Right.
Yeah. Hands down. And just...
Fucking guy, man.
I know. By the power of the paperback, I compel you. There's so much to go on. And like I said, I don't want them to be a sequel. This just needs to die. This franchise, this multi-billion dollar franchise needs to go away and have its last rites.
Yeah, no shit. I was like, I wish it was true. Give it its last rites. Let it die.
Yeah, I know. Those are my low points. How about yours?
Yeah, again, number one, Ed and Lorraine Warren, fuck you. And I just said in the beginning, they said paranormal pioneers, the Warren. I'm like, fuck you, paranormal pioneers. Like, half the fucking paranormal people out there had to like fight for any kind of fucking, you know, credibility because of the fucking Warrens and the horrible shit they did. And like, they destroyed like the whole paranormal community.
Sure did. Still have.
Paranormal pioneers. Fuck you.
They still have ruined it for everyone else.
Yeah. Again, I always bring it up. They fucking, one of the causes of the satanic panic, which caused a lot of heartbeat, you know, for a lot of fucking people.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever. Fuck them. So Lorraine Warren, like, apparently now has the power over life and fucking death.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that would have been nice to use in some of the other fucking movies that they had. They're renowned. No, they're not renowned. Who the fuck is saying the Warrens are renowned? It's the people who watch these movies and don't know the real story are the only people who fucking say that. Just whatever he says, like, oh, it was an inhuman spirit. What? Shut up. Blow it out your fucking ass. Oh, it was demon spirits taking over everything. Like, get out of town, dude. Yeah, I mean, the whole infected daughter thing, fucking Annabelle showing up, fucking stupid. The magic powers and fucking visions, like, it's okay when she does it because she uses the power of Jesus, but when, like, other people do it, they're witches.
Yep.
You know, burn them at the fucking stake.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Like, yeah, like, the Bible, like, thou shalt not suffer a witch to live, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, she would be a witch.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you're all fucking into Jesus. Like, your ass would be burned at the fucking stake if you told him that, you know, back in the old days.
Mm-hmm.
Again, we already talked about the daughter's age. Like, real life, she was 40 at this point. The actress playing her is 30, and they're literally playing her like she's 16 years old. Like, I'm not shitting you. She has, like, fucking pigtails and shit. She has, like, pigtails and, like, fucking bobby socks and, like, you know, the little fucking, like, kid dress and everything. Like, literally playing her like she's 16 years old. You get used to that because a lot of movies, you know, they have 30-year-olds playing high school kids and shit, right?
Yeah. So yeah.
I'm like sitting here like, are they trying to say she's 16? It's like religious families usually marry very young. I'm like, is she supposed to be older? I don't know, because they never say her age, right? So like, we only know how old she is in real life, and we know that that's not their age that they're using in this film. So like,
she was supposed to be. She's in this movie universe, 22.
Okay, I don't buy that.
No,
they've again, unless she was like super sheltered and like doesn't understand real life, then she could like play like she's 16 years old. But
yeah,
I'd say like that's a pretty shitty gift for the grandparents to give a broken mirror.
Yeah.
I'm like, the mirror, the thing's still fucking broken. Like, and everybody's just like, oh, yay, a mirror. Like, if I had a broken mirror, I'd be like, what the fuck? Is there a gift receipt? Like, I could get it fixed or something? Like, why would you give me a broken mirror? Like, that's like giving someone bad luck.
Yep.
Here's your bad luck. Hope you like it.
Yeah.
Yeah, just the, I mean, the spirits, just so cheesy and uninspired. I mean, generic ghost one, generic ghost two, you know what I mean? It's like there's nothing even remotely, you know, original about these ghosts in any way.
No.
It's like they were so boring. I'm like, really? These are the ghosts? Like, this is it? Like, we've seen these ghosts a million times. Can you do something new at all?
What, you've seen creepy old lady before? Where?
Creepy old later, violent guy with an axe, like, oh.
Hey, he was tall. You know,
yeah.
Tall, creepy guy with an axe, that's unheard of.
Yeah, I'm like, wow, so original, so scary. come on, guys, you can do better than that. Well, this franchise, you really can't.
No, they cannot.
That's all I got.
All right. Well, how many not spooky ghosts out of 10 then do you give Conjuring Last Rites?
Oh my god. point one.
Yeah. I remember what we gave the last ones. They were so far down the list.
I don't even care enough to look. I honestly just want to be done.
I will agree with you. This is definitely a point one, just because it was shot beautifully.
They put money in it, that's for sure.
Kudos, DP. Kudos to you, sir.
Yay, money.
Everyone else can go suck it. As far as I'm concerned. James Wan, just take your name off this. I know you like money too, but come on.
I don't know, dude. You know, that guy has made more shit than he's made good stuff.
Correct.
Just saying.
Correct. All right. Anything else you want to add before you roll up?
No.
All right. Well, next week, hopefully we dig ourselves out of the slot pit and check out other 2025 horror movies that we have yet to cover. We're going to be doing a kind of what we missed in 2025. So let's see if we will smile, be up until dawn, or just be cast as sinners. Actually, good movies next week. I'm excited.
I've actually seen them all already. I'll have to watch them again.
Oh, I've seen them as well. But yes, we just didn't cover them.
None of these I'm dreading watching again. So I guess it's better than these three for sure.
Oh, hands down. Because let's face it, after that, we have 2 weeks of Christmas horror movies in. They won't be as bad as the last year's because that
In theory, we won't have another Elf on the Shelf or Hell on the Shelf. We'll see.
Yes, that last year's Christmas episodes ruined or changed the way we do Christmas ones now. So
I don't know. The Christmas one we had before that was okay. They were cheesy slashers. They were okay. Last year it hurt, man. They physically hurt me.
Mm-hmm. So, all right. Well, remember, we watch bad movies, so you don't have to. And don't watch any of these.
Please don't.
And this has been Graveyard Saying, have you checked on the children?
This is Salem saying, long live the new flesh.